Today on Snoutro 4x4, Jimmy makes an OnlyFans and Tyler gets high.
Snail Trail 4x4 is brought to you by Bestline Racing. Bestline Racing has a complete lineup of performance additives for your engine's needs. From our oil additives to our fuel treatments, we have you covered for your hobby, tow rig, race car, or your daily driver. Check the show notes for your Snail Trail 4x4 discount at bestlineracing.com.
Welcome one, welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, and maybe even poking a little bit of fun at Toyotas, and of course, hearing about all the with-a-wa-butts about Toyotas, then this is the podcast for you. That's right, ladies and germs, I am your host, and at least half of the host for today. And this is episode 131. My name is Tyler. Nice to meet you guys. And sitting here next to me, social distancing with his face mask, is the one and only Mr. Jimmy Jet. Jimmy, how are you?
I'm good, Tyler. How are you?
Doing pretty good. You can take that off now. It's going to ruin our quality.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. So cool. How you been, man?
I'm good. Things are going well. It's been pretty slow around here lately.
It has been very slow.
It's been in regards to wheeling, it's been slow.
Yeah.
But life is somewhat crazy right now. I don't know what, like,
I'm in
just
the same
have
boat.
A lot of stuff kind of going on.
I'm in the same boat. I hear you. Yeah, I haven't been wheeling in, I think this is a Fordyce work party. And that's when I was a passenger in Bobcat with you. Me personally, I don't think I've driven a rig since the Spider Lake trip with Slow County Crawlers.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
On a trail. I'm a little depressed about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what about the undisclosed location? Was that after that?
I don't really count that as wheeling. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I did Strawberry a few, almost about a month ago now.
Mm-hmm. The video's out.
Yep. The video's out. Mm-hmm. It was fun. Mm-hmm. It was good. It did well.
Nice.
It's doing well, performing all right. So
it's good.
Yep.
Good, good, good. What else have you been going on? Just anything before we get into the real stuff of what we did, what shenanigans we've been up to, just anything else in your daily life that's been happening you want to inform people about? No? Okay, cool. How's your entry for the Gear Wrench Ultimate Garage going?
You know, I was talking to Gear Wrench Corey, and he
that's
told
dangerous.
Me that even if I won, I wouldn't win.
Aw, that's too bad.
Because we're air quotes, like partially sponsored or, you know, by them. And even though we're not, there's nothing written in stone that we're sponsored, but they do help us out in many ways. So I haven't done it. I was going to do it anyway.
What if we won and then gave out everything on the podcast?
See, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, we should do an Ultimate Garage. Like, we should shoot a video as Snail Trail and as we're going to give it out. You know, like, if we win, you know, we're going to hand this out to listeners right and left, you know, or something.
Yeah, take them onto trails and hand them out on wheeling trails and out at events and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how that goes.
Have you made yours? Are you making one?
I'm kind of.
Okay.
I just have no video skills.
Well, video skills don't really, I mean, you could shoot it with your cell phone. Like, the video skills to get entered into the Ultimate Garage giveaway, you don't have to have any mass production skills. If you can just shoot a selfie video with your cell phone, and that will be good enough to enter.
Okay. I'll think about it then. Mm-hmm. How's that?
Yeah.
Anybody else out there who has good selfie skills, you should definitely enter though.
Yeah.
How do people do that? How do they enter the Ultimate Garage giveaway, Jimmy?
Well, you can go to the Gear Wrench website and go click on Ultimate Garage, or you can click on the link down in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think there's three questions that you got to answer in the video and or write them and then submit it to them through their website.
Cool.
Yep.
I think your video has to be posted on like either YouTube or Google Drive or Dropbox.
Yeah, you have to send them the link.
And you have to send them the link to the video, exactly. Mm-hmm. Cool. So once they do that, how's another way that they can win some cool tools?
Well, another way you can win some awesome tools is the wonderful special gear wrench giveaway that's happening right here.
I don't even remember what the name is I came up with last time.
That's happening right here for the runner-up.
Yep.
Sponsored by our good friends at Gear Wrench and good help from Gear Wrench Corey. Mm-hmm. You can win damn near $10,000 worth of tools. We're going to try and fill a toolbox for you guys and send it on over to you.
Yep.
And to do that, you have to do everything that is required in the Gear Wrench Ultimate Garage giveaway and then get a snapshot of your email submission or the submission form on the website, and then send us all the information that you sent Gear Wrench, and then send us that visual of that you entered
the snapshot, the screenshot, snapshot, picture, whatever it is
that you entered their giveaway, and that enters you in ours.
Nice.
Are we still only at four people?
I don't know. I haven't checked in like a week and a half. I think since the last episode we talked about the entries, so there might be more.
Yeah. I mean, if there's four people, there's a 1 in 4 chance, 25% chance that you can win upwards of $10,000 worth of tools.
Pretty damn crazy.
Right?
Yeah. So get on it. If you saw Brian Murphy's video, which nobody probably has except for me, I think, right now. Have you watched it
yet? No. I don't even know if I have access to it.
I think I'm the only one that's seen it yet. I think just about anybody, myself included, could do a better video than that, but it is hilarious. He literally just, you know, it's exactly what you said. He just took his cell phone and shot a video and explained why he needed some gear wrench tools.
Yeah.
And then in the middle, his wife yells at him.
That's great.
So, which is apparently a daily occurrence for him, he tells me.
Yeah. He sent us a pretty cool, some pretty cool artwork lately of Kermit and Bobcat up on some rocks and the Rubicon sign, and Kermit has a Kermit in it drinking Fireball. And I don't know. Oh, the Bobcat has the snail sticking out of it, which still nobody is named to this day.
I thought we found a name for him.
Did
we? We were talking with somebody and they were like, this should be this. And I thought that you were like, oh, that sounds good. I forget what it was though.
Well, and it didn't stick.
It didn't stick. Sticky. His name's Sticky the Snail.
That could be.
So sorry, I was going to say Sticky like snail trails. Anyway.
Let's see. Other information that's out. Our interview, part one of our interview, is out with on the Rough Stuff podcast.
Yeah.
Came out yesterday. And so you could go check out their podcast and you can learn about some of Tyler and our backstory, that we, some things that we haven't shared and some things we have. But if you want to learn more about us, you can go check that out.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We got to talking with them about a lot of different topics. So we were there. God, 2.5 hours, almost 3 hours total, I think. So they ended up splitting it into two parts. So part one came out yesterday. Check it out. And then check out part two, I'm assuming soon.
Yeah.
Sooner than later.
It seems like they're releasing one every 2 weeks.
About that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is why they thought we were absolutely insane for doing two every 1 week.
Yeah. Seeing how they have both, they already have the episodes.
Yeah.
Then they probably edited the whole thing at once and then just cut it in half.
Yeah.
They'll probably release it next week, is my guess.
We'll see. We'll let you guys know when it comes out. But it was a lot of fun. So definitely go check it out. They're really cool guys. They're right down the street from the Snail Studio. Mm-hmm. So we get to go in, stop by and chat with them about random stuff. They did just get, if you have not been following some of their social media feeds, especially Garrett's, they just got a big laser.
They did.
And it looks,
it's huge.
It looks like something you would land on the moon with.
Possible.
So check it out. It does some pretty cool stuff. They did some half inch steel cuts on it that came out smooth as butter.
Oh really? I didn't see that.
Yeah, go check out Garrett's Instagram. I think it's Rough Stuff Garrett or Garrett Rough Stuff, something like that. One of those two. But yeah, he has some examples of what the laser's cutting and looking like right now.
Cool.
So pretty cool stuff that they got going on there. Congratulations to those guys. That's a huge step for being a company that handles and manufactures and makes a lot of just really beefy DIY stuff.
Right.
That's their specialty. If you like building your own suspensions, building brackets, building gussets, building steering components, you know, putting your own brakes on, anything like that. They do a lot of that. So go check them out. They're always running sales. So they've got sales on, you know, their daily sale is back. So make sure you sign up for their email newsletter. They do stuff on the social media, on the podcast. They have some discount codes. So check it out. They got a lot of really cool stuff over there, including some sliders that we're going to talk a little bit more about later on in the episode here.
Cool.
So yeah, we have that. Let's see. It is officially today. You guys are listening to this on October 1st. So that means September is no longer available for you to get in for the September giveaway for Snail Trail, the Patreon giveaway.
Yes.
That means we're going to have a winner on next Thursday's episode. So
correct.
A yes. week from today.
Mm-hmm. Or that sounds about right.
A week. It'd be October.
It'd be the 7th. Yeah. That sounds good. We should have if everybody entered and then by then. So
yeah,
we'll see.
Cool. So yeah, that'll be out October 7th. So that'll be the winner of the Best Line Racing engine kit and fuel treatment kit. So we're going to get a nice little big kit together for you guys from Perry over at Best Line Racing. And we'll have a winner on next Thursday's episode. Do we want to talk about October's giveaway?
Yeah, definitely.
What is it?
Well, we had Dimitri in from Stellar Built, mm-hmm. and when he showed up into the studio, he came with prizes and goodies.
Uh-huh.
And so he brought us a tree strap, tree saver strap,
uh-huh.
and a recovery kit. Both of them are from Dobinson's.
Nice.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
I haven't dug through the recovery kit yet, mm-hmm. but Dobinson's makes some great stuff.
Yeah, so. They do. They're not as well known here in the States. If you listen back to episode 130, mm-hmm. They're an Australian company and they do a lot of really cool stuff. They're a nice local kind of owned company in Australia and they're starting to make a little bit more headway into the States here in the United States markets.
Yeah, they're probably, I mean, you got a few, there's some three companies that I know of from Australia that mm-hmm. are really massive. And of course, ARB.
Of course, ARB.
You know, and then ARB, for the most part, owns, to my knowledge, Old Man Emu.
So yes, they do.
I'm putting OME and mm-hmm. ARB into one group. Mm-hmm. You have Dobinson's.
Yep.
And then you have Iron Mountain or Iron Man 4x4.
Oh, I didn't realize they were Australian.
Yeah, they're nice. Australian as well.
Okay.
And so both Dobinson's and Iron Man are really trying to make a push into the American market right now.
Okay. Nice. Well, good for them. That's really cool. I'll have to reach out to them and figure out how they're doing their international shipments and imports and exports.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Or just partner up with them and say like, how about you guys send all my stuff? How about we just put more flates into the Dobinson package and say return to sender?
Yeah, exactly. we'll work on that. But more flates going really well. We're going to be launching here full on ready to go kits essentially for off-roading.
This is exciting news.
So so we have got an account with Vyer and Power Tank so far, and we'll be looking at getting an account also with ARB and maybe a fourth one that I'm going to keep secret for now.
No.
But the whole idea is that Morflates are portable, right?
Yeah.
That's the whole idea behind them. There's some other awesome kits on the market that you can build into your rig, and they work great. Nothing against them. I just wanted something portable so that you can buy one and use it for multiple vehicles or air up your buddies at the same time.
Correct.
And so that's the whole concept behind Morflate, is keeping it all portable. So being able to have your Morflate, you still need some kind of air source for it.
Correct.
So yeah, what we're going to start doing is we're going to start bundling compressors and air sources with Morflate kits.
That's cool.
So that I was trying to get that to be live October 1st and just trying to stay caught up with all of the orders coming in it's not happening. No. So I've kind of pushed it back. I'm giving myself another week and a half, maybe 2 weeks. October 15th is like my drop dead date.
Cool.
So
when you go on to Morflate.com, now besides a Morflate, you can also either get a Power Tank or a Vyer
exactly.
with it as well, and you mm-hmm. can get a whole system.
Mm-hmm.
That's rad.
So it'll be a system that's all set up, ready to go, and it's all comes essentially ready to work well together. So you just mm-hmm. buy everything in one place and you're good to go.
So the ARB, if you start working with them, mm-hmm. That's going to, it's not going to be a portable compressor. Do they have a portable compressor?
They do have portable options. So what I would do is get the, either the single or the twin that's built into the case. So they have like Pelican cases.
Oh, cool.
They sell them in as well. So those are the ones that I would sell, would be the Pelican case ones, just to kind of keep that portability option.
Got it.
There. Mm-hmm. And then if people really want like a twin ARB that's hard mounted, then I'll just probably just order it and have it drop shipped to them.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, the whole goal is portability and ease of use with, the best quality in the industry.
Yeah.
Is the idea and the concept behind it all. So, it's going to be really neat once that launches and that goes live and see how many people are actually interested in buying full air kits. Versus just a Morphlite kit versus just compressors.
Right.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's really good news. That's exciting.
Yeah. So that'll be fun. And then we're looking at, taking Morphlite quite a bit bigger starting January 1st.
Yeah.
So I'll leave that there for now. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Cool.
Yeah. on the Snail's armor side.
That was gonna be my question. Cause I know you've had some interesting moves there.
Yeah. So I'm officially sold out of all the second gens.
Nice.
So those sold out much faster than I anticipated.
Congrats.
Second gen Tacomas, that is. Mm-hmm. I've got a few more left of the third gen, so I'm going to do another order mm-hmm. here very soon. And in this order, I'm really hoping to be able to finalize the Tundra. Third gen Tundra, I know that.
Second, third gen, yeah.
Yeah, second, third gen Tundra.
Yeah.
And I'm going to see, because Hustle Nuts has a first gen Tundra,
uh-huh.
and they look... The tailgates look similar,
uh-huh.
so I'm going to see if it'll fit the first gen Tundra as well.
Okay,
which would be rad if I can make one design for the Tundras and have it cover all their bases.
Yeah,
all the bases.
Yeah,
And I modeled up the second gen Forerunner.
Nice
as well. I need to double check some numbers because when I started looking into it, I was off. So I need to. Figure that out, but I might just have I might make a prototype and then see how far it's off and compare it to a first gen Forerunner, and I'm hoping that those are the same as well.
Okay,
because I know they have the concept is very similar. Mm-hmm. So if the bolt patterns are the same, then if it's just a matter of trimming the outside or something, that's gonna be a piece of cake.
Yeah,
but they look very similar. In regards to Toyota pickups mm-hmm. and the first gen Tacoma, it looks like the bolt patterns are different on the first gen Tacoma, this third gen pickup, and the second gen pickup.
Oh geez,
they're very close, but it looks like all the bolts are slightly different, so that one's going to be a little bit farther down the road.
Yeah.
In regards to those, I'm considering putting a bend in it, which will be the first kind of modification to a flat tailgate that uh-huh. I've been going to be doing, because I really like, I want some protection that goes up and over the top of the tailgate.
Oh, for the older pickups.
For the older pickups. They don't have anything. Yeah,
like they're not like the second gen, third gen.
Yeah. And the mm-hmm. Forerunners, you know, all have
the window coming
out. The window coming out. All of them have something that goes over the top. The Tundra doesn't. Mm-hmm. But the way that the Tundra's layout, it doesn't really work for the tailgate to go all the way to the top anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So in regards to the pickups and the first gen Tacoma,
mm-hmm.
I'm considering bending it over and having a kink in it more or less and making some protection for the top side. So we'll see.
It's always good to have protection.
Yeah, especially if it's kinky.
Yep. Touche. Well played, good sir.
So moving forward, hopefully uh-huh. two new versions coming out in the next month.
Nice.
Let's say. That's the goal. So and then yeah, and then just need to figure out some things on the backside of that and doing some customization work, which is fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
That's cool.
I'm excited.
You're doing some custom work with Hardline Co. right now.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Valley Taco's doing a giveaway currently, and he didn't tell me that he was going to give a snail armor tailgate away. So go check out if you want to.
Hold on.
Go check out at Valley _Taco to see the giveaway.
Okay.
So he didn't tell me that he was going to give a snail armor away. So he's giving a snail armor tailgate away, and he's giving a if you don't have a Tacoma, the other option is to get, he's doing a NOCO jump booster.
Okay.
But he said that he was going to, in his description, he was like, I'm buying these out of my pocket.
Oh, okay. That was going to be my question. Yeah. I was like, I knew where you're going.
So he's like, okay. I'm buying these out of my pocket. And because he's hitting 20,000 followers on Instagram. Wow. And he's like, I'm going to have a little celebration. Uh-huh. You can get one of these two things.
Nice.
And so on his post, I said, that's awesome. I appreciate the support and, you know, advertising. Mm-hmm. I'll upgrade whoever wins if they choose the snail armor. I'll put your Instagram handle on it.
Nice.
So, he was super excited about that. That likes or that comments got a bunch of likes on it, so that was fun. Nice. If you want an option to win a snail armor tailgate for your third or second gen Tacoma, go over to Valley Taco on Instagram.
That's cool.
And enter.
Yeah, that would have been something if he was like, "Hey, I'm doing a giveaway, right? And I'm giving away one of your snail armors. Thanks for donating."
You're like,
wait a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that kind of, I mean, it somewhat brings up some of this things that we've been talking about off air is he wants to add his Instagram handle onto his tailgate. And, and because he was doing this giveaway, I mocked up, an HLC, the Hard Land Line Co. They're like group of off-roaders. And mocked up a tailgate for them and they're like, this is awesome. And I was just doing it as trying to promote for them.
Yeah.
You know, promote the giveaway going on. And so, you know, and then it got a lot of interest and now they are somewhat interested in doing a group buy. So I'm kind of working with Benny and finding out, Valley Taco and finding out, like how many of them are seriously interested mm-hmm. in getting a tailgate and how can we work price breaks and, you know, how does it all work, you know, on the backside and how many of them are interested and how does it work out money wise for me? So, so that was kind of fun. And it kind of made me think like, shoot, maybe I'll just mock up tailgates for people, you know, like, hey, Yoda Mafia, you know, or hey, Tacoma Beast, and just design things up for people and send it over and be like, hey, you interested in one of these and see if it kind of takes off or offer to do some group buys or, you know, try to move it by designing it instead of actually making product.
You should check out Tacoma World. Those Tacoma owners love their group buy.
I don't know if a Tacoma World logo or something on the tailgate would be interesting, but I mean, even if I wrote Tacoma, it might be somewhat popular. Yeah. But yeah, so that's been a big time chunk about what's going on in my life and why I haven't gone outside or done much work on Bobcat lately. It's just because
you're becoming an introvert.
I guess. But I've been learning how to code.
Yeah.
Or not code, but CAD.
CAD, yeah.
You know, and because I want to learn how to do this stuff myself. And though I have friends out there that are more than willing to help me out and draw things, I think it's if I want to go down this rabbit hole in life, then this is something I need to learn how to do. Mm-hmm. And plus, I don't think it will be a bad skill to have.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of enjoying it. So, the process is going a little longer than if I would just went over to Hustle Nuts and said, hey, I need to draw this up real quick.
Yeah.
You know, and he'd be like, okay, you know, so it's been fun, but it is time consuming.
Yeah.
So
cool. Do you want to let everybody know what other project you're working on with snail armor? Or do you want to let that one just slide for a little bit?
No, we can mention it here. I'm not sure if this is the final design or layout, but I'm working on a cup holder.
Okay.
Is that what you were referring to? Yeah, I'm working on a cup holder that you can more or less pull out some of the hardware that's already there and put back in with this little flat cup holder. I still have mixed feelings in regards to it, whether I feel like you're never going to need it because it's a flat tailgate. And now I'm now using some of the real estate to add a cup holder. It's just a flat piece of metal that you're going to bolt down on top of your tailgate, the snail armor, and it's only going to be like an eighth of an inch tall, and it's just going to, you know, prevent things from sliding away if they put it on. But I really don't know if, like, how often do you park on an extreme camber that, you know, or off camber section, then you have a drink out and your tailgate down that you're going to need, you know, this little cup holder on it, you know, whereas most of the time when I have a drink out and my tailgate down, I'm already at camp.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm, you know, it's set up. So I'm probably just going to design it and have it made and put it out there. And if people want it, they can have it.
Yeah.
And I'm not really going to, you know, maybe not more than this, promote it that much.
Yeah.
You know, it might be just as a, hey, you know, there's also this cup holder available. But I think I really want, I like your idea, which was find an option that doesn't take away from the flat tailgate aspect.
Mm-hmm. Whether it doesn't take real estate off of it. Yeah.
Which whether it like hangs off the sides or hangs at another point or, you know, just find another way, you know, like magnetic or something. Figure out a way to solve that.
Get some really nice aluminum magnets.
Mm-hmm. Aluminum magnets.
I'm funny.
You're. Yeah.
See, you think you got jokes? Come on.
I wonder if there's a powder coat. There is. There's paint that is metallic or paint that is magnetic.
Okay.
I wonder if there's a powder coat that is magnetic.
I don't know. That's a good question.
That'd be interesting.
I would imagine they would just. It would just be metal shavings into your paint and metal dust so that it gives it a metallic surface.
Yeah. Another thing that I'm doing that I don't think you've seen yet, or I don't know if I told you, is I'm with the very first prototype of the snail armor tailgate that I have. I cut these small wedged chamfers, I think is what you call them. There's like 45 degree cuts in the hole. Mm-hmm. And then I went out and I bought some flathead screws.
Oh, so and everything sits super flat now?
So everything. So there's 16 screws on a Tacoma third gen tailgate. And the 8 across the top, they're button heads. I'm going to leave them because it's on plastic and it's risen and it's not flat. But there's 8 around the backside and 2 on the sides. I chamfered all those and put flathead screws in there. So it's, for the most part, it's like perfectly flat.
Nice.
The design I have, the holes weren't perfect. And this was the very, very first one.
Uh-huh.
And so we rearranged, like moved holes to make it a little bit better situated. But so they don't sit perfectly flat on with the one I have. But I think this is going to be that could be an upgrade that's going to be coming also in the next version, where I'll be handing out some screws and have these chamfers cut in them so that you can... Literally, it will be the flattest tailgate on the market. Yeah.
Nice. That's so really cool.
Because there's a lot of other people, the other companies out there use the button heads.
Yeah.
And Mountain Snatch uses the, they cut like cup holders and a flag and their ends dip down. And so it's not nearly as flat as the snail armor is. So
yeah,
it'll be.
That and a lot of Mountain Snatches are bending.
Yeah,
after a few years and warping a lot.
They're warping, and I hear people are breaking the where the screw goes down because it gets thin there. And so, and then either people, you know, Mountain Hatch might be saying that they over tighten them, but I don't know if you can really over tighten it because then you're going to strip out the little plastic thing that goes on inside of it.
Yeah, that's going to fail before the tailgate cover
would. Assume it would. And so, yeah, so I know that some people have told me that where you screw it down, those little tabs break.
Okay.
So, so it's, there's some advantages to go into aluminum.
Yeah. Well, awesome, man. That's really cool. It's fun to see the transformations and the evolutions of the snail armor and Morphlight going on.
I know.
On.
It's crazy.
Oh, man.
It's fun, actually, too. Yeah. I was saying earlier, it's time consuming. Very time consuming.
It is. So. Extremely time consuming, especially when you have another day job you're having to deal with,
and
when accounts are really pissed at you because they're not getting their product.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons like videos on Snail Trail 4x4 podcast or the YouTube side of thing are coming out like one every 2 weeks right now instead of once a week.
Yeah.
So
hold that thought on videos.
Okay.
Because we're going to get back to that role in a second. I wanted to read a few more reviews.
Okay. And then I wanted to touch on something as well.
Cool. I don't know whether I need to ask for an adult right now or not. For those not noticing, Jimmy just touched me after he said he needed to touch on something else. So I need an adult now, please. We are up to 176 reviews on iTunes.
Awesome.
Super cool. I know that it was just released on the Wheeling Wine and Whiskey podcast. That Podcast Addict is doing reviews now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Charles Locke found that out, our Australian buddy, who thinks he has, or thinks his 90-year-old grandmother has a lot of jokes,
which she
actually does.
Funny.
But yeah, there's a reviews on Podcast Addict. And Mr. Loki.
Loki?
That's what he put on his review. Loki, L-O-C-H-Y. Yeah. Is our only review on Podcast Addict right now. So go check those out. But the iTunes ones, we had some really some good ones come in. So this first one here is from Brushfire21. And he said, Latte Sipping Toyota Podcast. Oh my God, I didn't read this whole thing. It is a massive review. We can't read it. but I'll just read the first paragraph, and I will save you guys from the other five paragraphs. He says, I have been listening to these two characters since they debuted on the High Sierra 4x4 in 2019. Good balance of wheeling, Yoda tech talk, ham radio, crap talking latte sippers, and helping to promote Jeep ownership. Maybe someday Jeep might be a show sponsor. LOL. So I thought that one was pretty funny. The next one was from Wordy LRK, and he says, I'm not sure exactly who wrote this. It's good. It says, my husband wants free tools. So he stole my phone to write this review at Rescon, hashtag no shame.
I wonder if he listened to like our 10 tools episode.
I think that's when a lot of these were coming in during that time. Like we're still not caught up with current reviews. Oh. We're almost there.
Well, here, I got a current review for you.
Okay.
Yeah. This one comes in from, you know who the fuck it is, Snail Boys.
Uh-oh. Is somebody upset that we just called him out because we just get called names all the time?
I don't know. Said best podcast and things of that nature, definitely is the title.
Okay.
It's so far so good, right?
It's just gonna go downhill.
If you like clapped out Toyotas, overheating Toyotas, breaking windows on Toyotas, and maybe even blowing out cylinders in Toyotas, and especially hearing about how awesome Toyotas are on the side of the highway, then this is the podcast for you. Okay. This is great informational podcast once the dot, dot, dot.
Once the dot, dot, dot.
5 stars.
Yay. At least it was 5 stars.
That's great. That was funny.
That was a good one. You know who you are. I'm pretty sure I know who that is as well.
I have a guess or
did,
two.
Did they even sign it at all? Or who was
no, it was from, was you it know from? Who the fuck we, I am that's Snail Boys.
The name of that it? Was the,
you know. Okay. Who the fuck it is, Snail Boys.
Okay, that's fair. I think that was Lorenzo.
Oh, probably.
He's still a little upset at us. Mm. So, I'm just going to leave it. I'm going to end it on that note. We'll get to the rest of these later.
Sounds good. In regards to mm-hmm. Patreon.
Yes.
We talked about the giveaways, but today the gift box tier opens.
Oh, good call.
Yep.
We also, so yeah, finish that up.
Yeah. So the gift box tier opens, so you can go slide in there. And if you want to move up or just jump into the $20 tier to get a personalized off-roading gear package box thing from us in 6 months, uh-huh. then go over there and enter in now.
Nice. So that would be around April, May.
Yeah, we've pretty much been doing Easter and Halloween.
Oh, there you go.
So
that's true because we get candy in the boxes.
Yeah.
So speaking of in the boxes, we have officially all the items.
Yeah, I think
for
we
October's
do.
October's gift box.
Yep.
The last ones came in yesterday, actually. Mm-hmm. So those are going to be starting to get packaged up and they'll be going out within the next 1 to 2 weeks.
Yeah, my goal, and I said it before, was to get everything out the first week. Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen.
No.
it'll definitely be out by the second week because we don't have boxes.
Oh yeah, we overlooked that part.
Yeah.
We spent a lot of time getting some really cool prizes and then they all came in. We were like,
yeah. Oh, well, it's not right. That. Yeah, for the first time we did the boxes, I bought enough to carry us for a while. Uh-huh. The second time we did the boxes, we grew so much that we have 2 or 3 boxes left.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get all the product together and see what size box that we need.
Okay.
And then I'm going to go out and find boxes. I can probably get a few, grab them from Uline or whatever and get them pretty mm-hmm. quick. So it shouldn't be that far in. And the goal is to get it out as fast as possible to you guys. I know that we've always been late in the month on these, and I would like to get it out as soon as we can so we can talk about what was in the box and promote it on the podcast so that everybody can be interested.
What's in your box, Jimmy?
No.
Everybody wants to know. The world needs to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that'll be really cool. The boxes are going to be going out. We are missing one item that we kind of wanted to get out, but we couldn't get everything finalized, mainly because the Micro Machine himself was impacted with the campfire down at Shaver Lake area. So
yeah.
Because of that, the Snail Trail Treasure Hunt is delayed a little bit longer here. So
maybe we'll just mail them separately.
That might be a good idea. I want to get like 50 of them hidden as soon as possible.
Yeah, me too.
So once Kermit is done, I'm going to go on a rampage hiding tokens.
Yeah, but sort of the problem is going to be winter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're going to hide a token and if it's on the ground.
It'll be under something.
Yeah, under 6 feet of snow.
Yeah, so they got to wait until spring to find it or go with shovels and snowshoes.
So
it'll be fun. We'll see what we get on. We're still planning and we still are working on the Snail Trail Treasure Hunt. It's just the forest got a little impacted with the campfire, so those are being delayed a few extra weeks here.
Yeah,
but they're still in the works. We haven't forgot about it. We're still doing it.
We've kind of, and we haven't talked about it in a while, but I think we've for the most part have come out with a solution on how that we're going to run it.
Yes, I think so, yeah.
I mean, so do you want to talk about that just real quick?
Sure, yeah. Essentially, we're going to run it like we were planning on, but we're going to give the patrons a head start.
Yes.
So if you are a patron on patreon.com/snailtrail4x4, you're going to get a head start to the treasure hunt.
$5 tier.
$5 tier or higher. Mm-hmm. And what we're going to be doing is we'll be posting the coordinates for each of those individualized tokens, and each token is going to be serial numbered.
Yes.
So, you know, the earlier in the serial numbers you get, it's like kind of like it almost will turn into a collectible item, I think.
But I hope so. That'd be really cool.
Pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're all going to be serial numbered. So we're going to have the serial number of the token, the GPS coordinates of it. And what you're going to have to do is go out, find the token and take a picture of it and send us the picture that you have the token. You then get to keep the token, and we will send you a prize for finding that specific token.
Yes.
And the prize will be tied to the serial number of that token.
Correct.
So you can always say that you have the first prize ever found or whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly. And then on each of the tokens, we're going to spell out the letters of Snail Trail 4x4.
Yep.
And then so you guys can try to collect an entire Snail Trail 4x4 of tokens, letters. 13 letters, and then we're going to give you a bonus prize if you get that.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we're going to do is they're going to be available first for the patrons on patreon.com. And then I think we were saying we don't have the exact number, but I think we're looking at 6 months later. Mm-hmm. If one of them's not found, then we're going to open them up to the public.
Yeah. So I think something around there. We'll have to see if 6 months is a good amount of time. We may end up kind of coordinating it with. No, we wouldn't be able to coordinate it with the boxes because we're going to be putting out the tokens whenever we can. The tokens up,
right?
So yeah, it'll be somewhere I think between 4 and 6 months. Mm-hmm. We're not sure exactly what the date is.
We're going to start higher. Mm-hmm. I know that my guess is we're going to start at 6 months.
Yeah,
and if it just doesn't seem to be as popular as we expected, maybe we'll lower it down.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And we're going to start off here in the Sierra Nevadas, mm-hmm. and we will be expanding to other parts of the country.
Yep.
So we have figured out where all the patrons are located throughout the country, and we figured out where kind of the hot spots are for you guys. And there's one person in Florida that we're never going to send tokens there. So... I had to, Jimmy.
Yeah, that's funny.
It should be a really fun time. We are going to be expanding it, so just be patient. If you're in another part of the country, we will get there. We just got to make sure that kind of all the wrinkles are worked out of the game and everything is working efficiently and correctly. And so the best way to do that is to kind of keep it close to home so we can have a little bit more control of it before we send it nationwide.
Yeah. I want to thank everybody that has reached out to me and offered to help hide tokens, mm-hmm. which is awesome. Most of those people were patrons, though.
Yeah.
So we're not going to hand the tokens off to patrons because they're going to have the first chance to go and find them.
Yeah.
And so if you're not a patron and you want to hide tokens, then get in contact with me, jimmy@snailtrail4x4.com.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, that'll be awesome. So I think that finally does it for everything that we have updates on. I think we touched on pretty much everything.
Yeah. I think, what are we, 48 minutes in?
42, 43.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of good stuff in there. And I hope it was also entertaining and not just boring, boring crap. So the other than that, and mainly we did all that because we haven't been up to a whole lot of wheeling.
No. Yeah.
What have you been up to otherwise? Because without wheeling, I know that you've messed and tinkled around with tinkered. Hopefully you haven't tinkled on Bobcat.
No, not yet.
Have you tinkered with Bobcat since last episode?
Only minorly, though, since the last time we spoke. What I did was I added another layer of shims in the rear axle.
Okay.
And so a lot of people were saying that even though I was within 4 to 5 degrees from my drive shaft angle and my pinion angle, it's still too big of too many degrees. Okay. It's too obtuse. I don't know how you say it.
Yeah.
And so thankfully the shims I have are roughly 5 degrees. Mm-hmm. So I threw another shim in there. I'm either exactly on or 1 degree over now.
Okay.
And I'm still getting the vibration. So it's a pain in the butt. So I got all pissed off and I was like, I ripped out my rear drive line and I was like, everybody says it's my U joints. I'm just going to take my rear drive line back to, SAC drive line and say, hey, I need this balanced, fixed. I need the check all the U joints. I'm getting a vibration and I don't know where it's from. And so I'm going through everything.
Yeah.
Right. And then, so Bobcat's right now, it's parked on the side of my property. No front drive line, no rear drive line, and the hubs are completely apart. And okay. So, and then afterwards I got a little bit more like clear headed and I was like, why don't I just pull the rear third member and I'll check that. Mm-hmm. And then if that doesn't solve it, then I really don't know what it is. And by this time I'm pretty much need to rebuild that rear axle anyway, and I'm eventually going to a two-piece drive line, so the angle's going to change again.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to do a whole new angle on the rear spring perches. I'm going to have a brand new, for the most part, axle underneath. Mm-hmm. A different axle housing, which wasn't cracked or, you know, maybe bent. I don't know, you know. And the axle shafts are going to be the same, but they have brand new bearings on them. And then I will know if the third member is bad or not, or not know. And I will have a new drive line.
Yeah.
So, my thought is I'll just pull out the third, swap in another one, one that I've used before. So I know it's good.
Yeah.
And, see if that's the problem. And then if it solves it or not, keep it as is until winter and then because I don't need to drive over the freeway speed. That often.
Yeah.
You know, if I go on long trips, like, okay, I can only go about 55. Sorry. You know?
Yeah.
And, or tow.
Yeah.
Cause now I have the trailer at my disposal and, just wait till the winter and then do a overhaul on the rear end.
Mm.
So that's, where I'm sitting. That's how I sit in my thoughts.
Okay. Yeah. I'd be interested to check your backlash on the rear third member and see if maybe that came undone for some reason. It shouldn't.
I wonder if I can check that. No, I don't think so. I wonder if I could check that without pulling the third member out.
I think you could actually.
Can you?
You would have to secure both tires in the rear because you're spooled in the rear. So if you have both tires secured, they're not going to move. You should be able to turn the pinion and see how much play you have there in the rotation of the pinion. Because that's essentially all that you're measuring with backlash.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's dry shafts off right now. We could go look.
Yeah, I don't have a micrometer with me. I forgot to bring it. Oh, man.
Did you bring stickers?
That's frustrating. I did not bring stickers. Oh, dang it. Bummer. That sucks. Oh, well.
Maybe I'll just send that with you, and you can send that to Australia.
Okay. That'll work. I'll throw some more jokes in there for him.
There you go.
Yeah, so that's frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's frustrating that I haven't been able to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, like, I think after doing the overhaul on the, you know, by changing everything out or changing the rear drive line to a whole different setup,
mm-hmm.
is either going to solve it or it'll solve the fact that it's nothing in there, nothing that has to do with the rear axle
yeah.
and drive line. And maybe it's suspension or maybe yeah. it's, you know, a bushing up front or something, you know?
Yeah.
It's at that, when you're at that speed. Yeah. Another thing somebody asked me to do, and I don't think I've ever done it or tried it yet, was put the vehicle in neutral.
At speed?
At speed. On yeah. the, like, get on, I would probably go on to the hill up on 80 and then drive down the hill and get it up to like 75 and vibrate like crazy and push the clutch in and put it in neutral and see if it still vibrates.
Hmm.
I haven't tried that yet. And that's a good idea. It could tell me whether it's my transmission or not.
Yeah. It would tell you if it's your, from your T case to your engine, mm-hmm. I guess, to your clutch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Interesting. I didn't really think of that either for yeah. some reason.
That's what's awesome about having all you people out there.
Yeah. All the people that are way smarter than we are.
Even though I realize that not everybody keeps up with my stories,
uh-huh.
but when I post a story and it's a continuation of stuff that I've been doing over the weeks,
uh-huh.
you know, and people go, oh, it's your drive line. We're like, no, like, I've already talked about that 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it's sort of a bummer, but I understand the name of the game.
Yeah, I did. I did talk to one guy from the Mad Hatters, Walt, who okay. had a very similar issue.
Okay.
And it ended up being his driveline. And what's interesting about it is he literally took his driveline to two separate shops and both of them balanced it. And he was still getting vibration issues.
Hmm.
And he's a mechanical dude. He knows what he's doing. And so he yeah. was like, I'm fairly certain this is driveline. And so he took it finally to South Bay driveline,
yeah.
Steve. And Steve goes, oh man, they fucked up your drivelines.
Yeah.
You know how Steve is. So.
Yeah. I was talking to Jason Green and
yeah.
I was talking to Jason and he was saying that too bad I don't live closer. I should take it into them. And mm-hmm. I said, well, SAC driveline's pretty good. They've been around forever.
Good, yeah.
Yeah. You know, and he's like, yeah, but you should take it to South Bay.
Right.
Like, okay.
Yeah, we might, I don't know. I wonder if you could call South Bay and just talk to Steve and be like, hey, here's what's going on. What does this sound like yeah. to you? And see what he says.
In all honesty, it sounds like driveline.
Yeah.
But the fact that what deters me from that is this is the third driveline that's been in the rig
and it's still doing it
after mm-hmm. every one. Now, that said, they might have just re-sleeved it and left the U-joints alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would assume that they should check the U-joints, yeah. but maybe they just throw it on the like a lathe-like thing and spin it, and mm-hmm. there's no, you know, play in the drive line at that point. So yeah. I don't, you know, maybe it is a U-joint.
So I took my drive shaft to SAC drive lines,
mm-hmm.
my rear drive shaft, after I got back from Hammers, and it was stuck together.
Yeah.
Because the splines inside got all chewed up somehow.
Right.
Well, they got chewed up because they weren't greased.
Or lubed.
They had no lube.
Shaft.
Yeah, we didn't lube my shaft. And I took it to them, and they completely cut the tubes off, right, and welded new tubes on and got it all balanced and everything. And I thought I had asked them, you know, check the U-joints, redo the U-joints, and because I don't know how long the U-joints have been without grease either.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd rather just get it all done and have a new drive shaft.
Right.
And all they did was retubed it. Right. They didn't do anything with my U-joints.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I don't think I've had any issues with them.
Sure.
Like, I don't think I'm having any issues with them. So maybe they literally just didn't need to be done with. But I thought one of them was for sure pretty damn loose, wiggling yeah. it around. So I don't know. I think it'd be worth at least a call to Steve at South yeah. Bay.
Yeah.
I know he's a long ways away, but I know that in terms of like the whole state of California, nobody does drive lines better than he does.
Sure. Yeah, so, I agree. I'm just also to the point where it's like, I'm eventually going to change this out anyway.
I'm getting rid of my driveline.
Yeah, it's going to be a backup.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going to go to the two piece and I've got to change the angle anyway.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of like, well, if the third member doesn't solve the problem, then I'm just going to deal with it for another 1 month, 2 months.
Yeah.
And then I'll rip it apart.
Yeah.
And change it all up.
Yeah.
So
that's fair. I think that's another good way to look at it too. So if you're already planning on redoing stuff anyways,
right,
there's no point in chasing this down.
Right. Exactly. So,
Cool.
How about you?
I got to have some fun this weekend.
Yeah, I know you did.
I was up at, continuing the work on the N6 ICW tower.
No, that's not what I was thinking you were going to say.
Oh,
but cool.
Yeah. It was fun. We are now out of the depressing stage of it.
You were depressed?
Yeah. Oh. I mean, it was just sad because everything's burned. Everything's completely destroyed up there.
Can you see or did you notice if anything's starting to grow again?
Yes, it is actually.
Really?
We noticed that coming back down.
Okay.
So heading while we were up there, I mean, there's just insects and bugs everywhere. Like it's really, really bad.
Yeah.
But on the way back down, there's little tufts of grass growing up and little new trees already growing up.
That's cool.
Out of where the tree root systems were. Like everything from the ground up is dead on all these trees, but the roots are still alive and they're growing new trees already.
Cool.
Which is pretty cool to see. We didn't think that, you know, this soon. I mean, it's been a month and a half after that fire, and it was a bad fire that ripped through there. It's pretty impressive to see the new growth already coming in. What's going to be really interesting is that's a very steep canyon going up to the top of Mount Vaca and back down. Like all the roads go through very pretty steep, windy roads. And with all of the vegetation dead, it's going to create some really gnarly mudslides in that area as soon as we start hitting rain. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out over winter and how Mount Vaca ends up faring over the winter time with all the rain. If we get rain, being in California, you never know.
Right.
So
so true.
But what's really neat about the tower project going on is we officially have everything that was destroyed off the tower.
Oh, cool.
So now it's time to rebuild the tower and build it back up to, you know, update it. Because the last time the tower was kind of rebuilt and redone was like 20 years ago, 20, 25 years.
Wow.
So it'd be really cool. We took down all the hard line. We cut out over 1,100 feet, 1,100 feet of a solid brass hard line coax off of the tower. We took down three antennas and a boom off of the tower and then finished checking all the antennas that are up there. So the only antennas left up there are good. They actually work. All the bad antennas have been taken down. So now we get to start putting good antennas up on the tower and kind of planning out how to set up the tower for the usage that they want to use it for.
Sure.
So that'd be really cool. Now we're kind of in the building phase, which is the fun part, right? It's the creative part of setting up a repeater system and a repeater site in the sense that, you know, they can maybe do some other stuff and add some APRS digipeters up there, some APRS iGates, maybe links to other places and add in another repeater up there on the tower and kind of set up everything the way they really want it for current day usage rather than 20 to 25 years ago usage. So that'd be really neat. I spent another, you know, good 3 hours, 2.5, 3 hours up on top of the tower, 100, 150 feet up in the air. And I'm getting to the point where I'm more comfortable up on the tower than I am down on the ground, which is pretty interesting.
For a short period, right? I mean,
I should say,
up there, and then when you get down to the ground, it feels weird.
It definitely feels weird, but like even on the ground, looking up at the tower, I'm like, that's a tall fucking tower.
Sure.
But once I'm up there, I'm like, this is awesome.
Right.
And I'm just like jumping all around the tower and running around the outside of it and circumventing
it's like getting onto a ship. Sure. Where, like, when you jump on, when you get onto the ship, at first you don't have your sea legs, and you're like, whoa, this is weird. And then eventually you're like, oh, okay, I'm totally used to it. And then when you get off the ship and the ship, there's, and you get on land and the land's not rocking or moving, you go, whoa, this is weird. I'm not used to this. And then you eventually get back used to it again.
Yeah, I guess. That's a good way of putting it.
Okay.
So it's been fun. You know, I'm getting more and more used to the harnesses and how the harness and the equipment works.
Do you have a full, like, ones that go over your shoulder, or are you just using sort of like a rock climbing ones that are like just waist and legs?
Full harness.
Full harness.
So full harness over the shoulders.
Yeah.
I have so I have my safety strap comes off the back of my harness. I've got two other straps that come around the sides that'll hold me in close to the tower while I'm working in doing close in stuff. And then I have another two straps that will allow me to work away from the tower.
Okay.
And really, like, lean out away from the tower. And those are attached to my my hip belt.
Yeah.
And so it's pretty interesting. When I first started using those, I was like, I don't know about this. I'm, you know, my feet are what's holding me.
Yeah.
From falling downwards. I'm literally leaning out at like a 45-degree angle, working on these antennas out away from the tower.
Right.
And so that's been interesting and fun to get used to.
Yeah, I think the first time leaning out, you'd be like, this is scary.
You just kind of go and go. You're like, God, if something breaks, I'm gone. There, I'm so done for it.
It's farther than your arms can reach.
Oh, yeah.
So do you hold on to the straps and let yourself back with the straps?
Kind of, yeah.
Or do you just, like, fall back?
So what I had to do... it depends on the situation. So, the most of the time I'm able to stay within one arm's reach of the tower.
Yeah.
Okay. But if I can't, then I kind of grab onto the strap and let myself out with the strap.
Yeah.
But I have to set up the strap beforehand, knowing how far away I need to be from the tower.
Yeah. I would set up the strap before you lean back too.
Definitely. So that's fun. The smoke is clearing out up there. It's not quite as bad. Especially once you kind of get up above it, the smoke is down low right now. So we were able to get some better views of the surrounding area and be able to see out further, which is pretty neat. So I did that. And then I also got, all the work done on the rough stuff sliders.
That's what I thought you were going to say.
Okay.
Yeah. I saw the, saw your Instagram photos. They look really good.
I'm very impressed with how they're turning out so far. And even the spot where I cut the tube 2 inches short came out great too.
Yeah. Are you going to file it down?
I did. Did you? I filed it and ground it down with the grinder.
Nice.
So it's nice and a flat, smooth surface now. So once it's painted over, you
probably won't even notice it.
Yeah. But it's been really cool. There's a couple places where I had some large gaps on the ends. And because you're cutting a 45 degree into that, you know, as you're welding it, the material of the tube, the end, the wall of the tube is also cut at a 45.
Correct.
So that's starting to melt and
it gets thin.
It gets really thin and it creates some big gaps down there. So I kind of had to weld a little bit and then go back to the other side of the slider, do some other stuff, wait for that to cool off, then come back and essentially fill it in two or three times.
Got it.
But that's been fun. I have welding flat level, I think, down pretty well right now. And so I'm getting used to now welding vertically.
Yeah.
And welding and figuring out, because I guess I move the gun a lot differently. My movements are different when I'm welding vertically versus flat horizontal.
Sure.
And so being able to kind of learn how far ahead of the puddle you need to stay as you're welding vertically, it has been interesting. And then how to do that while still getting a good penetration, a good spread on your material has been interesting to kind of troubleshoot and play around with and figure out what works best for me.
Yeah.
And then learning how to do that right and left-handed.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
So, it's been fun. I've been really enjoying it. It's been a really neat project that has taught me a lot about some of the you just get a lot of time welding to play around with little intricacies. Sure.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
I know when a long time ago, before I even started Snail Trail 4x4, I was working on a Volkswagen Bug, and I was repairing some of the floor pan. And so I was welding this like thin ass metal to this thin ass metal, you know, and I even put a slight overlap literally on some of the parts.
Yep.
So that I And all I would do, and so I'd lay underneath the Volkswagen Bug, and I just go tack, and then go like 4 inches away, tack, 4 inches away. And then, because if I held down the trigger, like even on the lowest setting on that little Lincoln 140, it would just burn right through it.
Yeah.
So I couldn't even, you know, I couldn't even run a bead or anything. It was just like thousands of tacks.
It was so annoying. I've heard is one way that you can technically do it, and it works just fine.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, you tack right next to your tacks.
Right. But you can't necessarily
do
that
all at once, though.
Well, yeah. Or with flux core.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because you need to, if you tack, you have to clean it off.
Yeah.
And so you have to, I'd do all these tacks, and then I'd have to clean it all off, and then I'd go next to all the tacks, and then I'd have to clean it all off. It was so annoying.
Yeah, good times. So it's been fun. I'm impressed with the sliders. They are super beefy.
They look great.
They turned out phenomenal. So I'll get some good pictures of them as the finished product of everything burned in and kind of wide angle shots. I did some kind of close-ups of some of my welds I was a little more proud of.
Yeah.
So I'll get some wide angle shots of them all together, but they're going to be beefy. They're going to be stout, man.
Cool. I'm excited because I want to put those on Samantha.
Oh, yeah.
And so I know that now that you have experience in them, and it'll be good to do that again. You know?
I'd be really curious to do it again now that I know how to do it all.
Right.
How much quicker it would go. Mm-hmm. I mean, even still, like once you get down to just burning everything in, it's just burning everything in, and that just takes time. I mean, it probably took me a total of about 5 hours of welding.
Got it.
Just to burn everything in and not have just the tacks holding everything together.
Sure.
So it makes sense. It was surprising how much welding it was when you start looking at it all.
Yeah.
To put it all and burn everything together.
That's awesome.
But it was really cool. I video recorded the whole thing, almost the whole thing. I don't think I recorded any of burning in the second slider.
Okay.
But I got a lot of really good footage. All the important stuff of how to kind of fit things up to the vehicle and how to get things cut with just super basic tools that I have,
right,
is there in the video.
Cool.
Which is really nice. And we'll see how the video turns out. I'm not saying anything. I think it's going to be a terrible video, but I think that it might be kind of entertaining at the same time. How bad it'll be.
Maybe we'll, depending on how it comes out, it'll either end up on Snail Trail 4x4 or on Patreon.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. But yeah, I highly recommend them. If anybody wants to do a welding project and you kind of are getting into welding and you need some new sliders for your rig, check out these universal sliders at Rustoff. Cool. They're $300, I think, for the pair of them. And
yeah,
you take them and you can set them up to the length and exactly what works for your vehicle. And it's been a really neat project.
Yeah. Yeah. And they have different sizes too, different lengths. And it's a pretty simple, straightforward kit. Mm-hmm. And so if it's your first welding product or project, that this is not a bad one because they kind of have made it fairly dummy proof.
Yeah.
I know that when I was, Gear Wrench Corey, when he got them, he brought it over here and I was looking at them. I'm like, wow, this is like, besides cutting some 45s, it's all done, you know, or cutting some tubes shorter, you're pretty much done and you just have to like weld it.
Yeah.
So it's a really cool product.
Yeah. If you have a chop saw, it'll be way easier and way less time than what I did.
Did you have an angle grinder?
I just had an angle grinder and I had to find the 45 degree angles and then get them on with an angle grinder. You can't keep it as straight as a chop saw.
No.
So after I got it cut, I still had to fit everything up and grind it down to get closer fitments. And still, I wasn't able to get everything exact. I had some gaps that I had to fill, but it was just sitting there and have to grind it down, fit it, grind it down, fit it, grind it down, fit it. I'd do it 4 or 5 times for every single 45 degree cut.
Yeah.
To get it going. So a chop saw would save a lot of time.
Sure. That is sometimes fabrication though.
Yeah, true.
Right.
True.
Sometimes, you know, I know that when I've spoken to Jason with Hustle Nuts, you know, he's like, when he's making coping and he's just using an angle grinder, he's like, I'll take, you know, just grind it a little bit and I'll walk it over and see if it fits right. And if it doesn't, I take it back to the, you know, grind it a little bit more, walk it over and see if it fits, you know. And he's also very meticulous in how to get it right.
Yeah.
You know, but getting it right makes everything easier going forward.
Yes, so. It does. But other than that, that's pretty much what my weekend was the, yeah. the tower work and then just burning in the ciders.
Nice.
So,
yeah. My weekend was I went wine tasting again.
Nice.
So, yeah, it was pretty good. It was a fun time.
I learned something on the Wheeling Wine and Whiskey podcast.
You actually listened?
I did.
Their most recent episode?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I haven't finished it. Okay, ready.
It's called, Do You Know What a Smoky Taint Is? Jimmy, do you know what a smoky taint is?
I know what a taint is, and I can assume what a smoky one might be. It's a smelly taint.
It's got, no, it's called smoke taint.
Okay.
And what it has to do with wine. And what happens is grapes on a vineyard, if there's a fire nearby, the smoke and the ash from the fire will land on the grapes, and they actually get absorbed into the grapes.
Oh, the smoke, that's interesting.
The smoke does.
I thought it was a chlorophyll sort of scenario where the leaf pulled it through. But okay.
Yeah, same. I mean, the leaf pulls it through, it turns into sugar, and that sugar ends up in the grapes, right?
Okay, so it's not literally landing on the actual grape.
I mean, yes and no. It is.
Both?
It's landing on
all
both,
the above. Yeah. Okay.
And then through the process of harvesting the grapes, you get what's called smoke taint, in which the wine, whatever grapes you're dealing with, end up after the 2 years of barreling and sitting and going through all that process, the wine tastes smoky.
Right.
Which I absolutely love.
Yeah. I know where you're going with this.
And he said that apparently in the wine industry, smoke taint is detrimental to crops. Vineyards will throw out their entire crop if it's smoke tainted.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with these people? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. And it's happening a lot.
It's happening right now. All over the place. So yeah. All these vineyards are throwing out 80, 90% of their crops. And I'm like freaking out because that's the wine I want.
Yeah.
I want to know what a smoky Pinot Noir is. I want to know what a smoky Barbera would be like. I want to know.
Maybe it's just not worth them, you know, like worth it. I think that they're, let me back up. I think they're missing the experimental side of it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, okay, this grape might have smoke taint in the juice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what if we do, like, let's try this and see how a grape, see how things happen. Mm-hmm. Let's see what happens, you know?
Yep.
I think that they're, you know, like, try to make your, you know, what are the lemonade improvise out of lemons or whatever.
Improvise, adapt, overcome.
What was that saying? If life gives you lemons, find the person that was given potatoes and make vodka or something.
I never heard that one. Yeah. But I'm like, the best wine I've ever had is 2014 Zins from El Dorado County, because 2014 was the year of the King Fire that ripped through El Dorado County and smoke tainted every single vineyard in El Dorado County.
And they still made the wine.
And it is amazing.
It is. I've had it. It's delicious. And I think that it's another, like, why don't they just make it and see if it turns out shitty?
Yeah. Right.
Instead of going like, oh, this is probably going to be bad. The thing is, it's not going to be your normal wine.
True.
Right.
Yeah.
If you are like, if you're Jack Daniels, I don't have a wine that's like, if you're, you know, a Gallo wine, a Gallo or Merlot, and you have this specific flavor and taste that has to be matched every single sort of year.
Yeah.
And you get a smoke taint year. It's not going to be the perfect same Gallo,
your wine,
but it, maybe there's something there to do. Yeah, I don't know. So
I don't know. Apparently I talked to Jason about it and he goes, well, you are in the 1% of people that are drink wine that like smoke tainted wine. And I was like, I don't know what's wrong with people then.
Yeah. Well, it might not even be that. It might be, well, maybe they, because they keep throwing out the grapes, more people haven't tried smoke taint wine.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, but I was really, really disappointed when I heard that. And I had to call him and ask him why. So now I'm like kind of freaking out. I'm going to call all my favorite wineries that I do go to. I'm going to ask them what they're doing with their 2020 harvests and see.
What are you going to do? You're gonna get the harvest and give it to Jason and tell him to make some wine for you?
Maybe. If people are gonna be throwing out a bunch of 2020s in, I'll buy up their grapes at closeout price rather than just throwing it away, and I'll send it over to a bunch of people. I know a bunch of different people that do at home winemaking.
Yeah.
Let them have fun making the wine with smoke tainted zin. I'd totally love that.
I'll get some of those grapes and make a mash and make some brandy.
Right? Smoke tainted brandy?
Yeah.
Dude, like that. Now we're talking, right?
Yeah. Why don't they do that?
I don't know. Like, there's so many different possibilities, and we're not even in that industry at all. Right?
Because we have so much more free time on our hands. Right. I'm just going to make all the alcohol in the world.
Right. Oh, man. So anyways, if you guys know of any wineries out there that are going to be keeping their smoke taint harvest, let me know, because I will be visiting all of those wineries in 2022 and buying up a lot of their stock.
Well, I can pretty much guarantee it's pretty much all of them in Napa.
Pretty much. Napa's getting destroyed right now.
There's Santa Rosa is on fire. Yeah. Half of my family's been evacuated.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. I have some tennis accounts over in Santa Rosa that are like, we don't even know if the resort is still there right now. We can't even get back in or get any news on whether or not the club and resort is there. And their shop is still there.
It's crazy. It's hitting Coffee Park again.
Oh my God! Really?
The same. I forgot what the Tubbs fire.
Fire. Yeah.
It's hitting the same. Like, and Paradise is getting on evacuation again.
Wow.
You know, it's like the same spots.
Wow.
Are getting hit again. Interesting. That were like 2 years ago, three years ago, 4 years ago.
2018.
Yeah, I think the Tubbs was 16. Yeah, it sucks.
Oh, good times.
I actually had somebody on Instagram reach out to me and say, hey, don't you have family here in Santa Rosa? Are they okay? And I was like, oh, I didn't know the fire was that close.
Yeah.
You know, and then I reached out to them and they're like, yeah, we're evacuated and we're staying at our, you know, your cousin's house, but we're all okay. Nobody else has been evacuated yet.
Wow.
Like, dang.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was gonna go into asking you about if you watched the debate.
Oh.
And what were your thoughts?
I don't want to go.
I was thinking we might be able to do it without getting political.
I
thought it was just entertaining.
I can. My thought was that the moderator tried to do a very good job and had a hard time.
Yes. Yes. I think that's a good way to put it. I thought that it was very interesting. Some of the stats that were being put on, I kind of went around, looked at some of the different networks to see what the different networks, and a lot of the same things that were being said from all the different networks was that the people watching the debate were very disappointed.
Yeah. I watched before the debate.
There wasn't really a winner.
No.
Yeah.
Before the debate, I saw some news broadcaster more or less say that this isn't going to be a debate where America is going to be watching, seeing who they're going to choose for president. Mm-hmm. This is more of a debate where people are going in with their already choice, and more or less like a football team, you're rooting for your team.
Oh, that's so bad. And you're not
listening to the sides.
Yeah.
Which I thought could be pretty,
I think that characterized it pretty well.
Yeah. I thought that the moderator, I felt that the moderator did a fairly decent job trying to control the situation, and asked very pointed, direct questions at both parties. So
I agree.
He was trying to stir the pot and was succeeding, and therefore it was chaos.
Yeah, it turned into chaos.
But it was interesting.
Yeah. I'm disappointed. I'm very disappointed that those are our best two options right now.
Yeah.
After watching that, I'm like, really? We have two children that we get to choose from here. Somebody else step up. Anyways, so that's all we're going to cover on that. We're not a political podcast. We don't want to get there. So I just thought it was interesting at the entertainment value of it. And
yeah. And I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but I would highly encourage you just to go out and vote.
Yes, 100%. Go out and vote. Make sure your voices are heard. It's very important. We have that this year coming up. So
on my birthday.
Look at you.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting birthday.
Yeah.
I'll be turning 40.
Uh-huh.
And they'll elect a president.
Damn, you're old.
I know.
Well, yeah, we'll see how it goes. Go out and vote. Make sure your voices are heard. That's the only way that shit happens.
Yep.
So if our voices are not heard and we are not voting, then shit like Oceana Dunes happens.
Exactly. So
special interest groups take over and companies and corporations take over and use laws to better themselves, essentially. And that's kind of exactly what's happening at Oceana Dunes and what might, once that as officially happens, and if we can't get that back open, that's going to leave a lot of headway for other places to follow that same line.
So I read an article about Oceana Dunes, about how, and I don't know who the article was kind of from, but it was on the main page of Google, and it said that locals don't want the dunes open.
What?
Yeah. And which is interesting, right? And yeah. I think maybe on the flip side is we kind of have a narrow view of it because we only talk to people that go to the dunes and enjoy this, right? Where we don't really talk to the people that, you know, live across from the dunes and have to deal with the traffic or lights and sirens at the middle of the night or, you know, smog or pollution that was happening that might not be happening. But it was really interesting to hear that. Because we've been promoting the petition to open the dunes, there's also a petition going around to keep the dunes closed.
Interesting.
And one of the factors that makes sense, kind of, was that, well, if you open the dunes, then more people are going to be coming here. And if you believe in COVID being the virus that it is, then people are going to be coming from out of the county to come and visit the small town of Pismo and Arroyo Grande and Oceano and possibly bringing the virus into the city.
I would like to see who sponsored that petition.
Yeah, I know. It was really interesting. But it was neat to read the opposition.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So yeah, go ahead, check all those out, make sure your voices are heard, and plan on voting.
Yes.
So.
And drink beer.
And drink beer. Have a good time. Yeah.
Completely so
cool. Yeah, I know, right? I'm going to name this episode the no topic zone, the no pretty topic much. Episode.
Yeah.
We've covered everything. Anything and everything has been open game on this episode. So hope you guys enjoyed it. Hope you had some fun. Hopefully it was entertaining and not just a complete bore and make you want to gouge your eyes out and cut your ears off and unsubscribe. And if so, then I guess that's okay too. Whatever you want to do, we're okay with. We support you guys. That's because we're cool like that. So, do you have any final words for everybody?
I made a fans only account.
An OnlyFans
account? OnlyFans account.
Did you? You did?
I did.
Are you joking?
For Snail Trail.
What, for Snail Trail?
Yeah.
We're going to have to talk a little bit off air. I'm really... I don't know what's going to go on with that. So anyways, I'm going to pick your brain here for a second. I'm a little worried. And so with that, my friends, keep crawling. Well, while you're waiting, I did make a fun little trip this weekend.
To the tower?
Well, that one too, but on the way back, we stopped at the Boomerang store. They have a great return policy. I crack myself up, Jimmy.